Ronald Aronson is the author of Camus and Sartre, the story of a friendship and the quarrel that ended it. The book explores the relationship between two of the 20th century's leading intellectuals, Albert Camus and Jean-Paul Sartre. They met during the golden age of existentialism in 1943 during the German occupation of France. Ronald Aronson told Steve Paulson that Camus and Sartre started out as the best of friends.
At the very beginning, for several months, Sartre called Camus, according to Simone de Beauvoir, his best friend. And the way Beauvoir reports it, it was a little bit like falling in love. He was tremendously attracted to Camus, and he was attracted to someone who had similar ideas but was also his opposite, in the sense that Camus was the great novelist, Sartre was the great philosophical genius, and they both recognized that they had very different strengths. And that was part of the attraction, because they weren't, although they both did everything, journalism, plays, fiction, philosophy, political essays, although they both did everything, they knew that their strengths lay in different areas.
And Sartre was famous for his book Being and Nothingness, and Camus first gained fame for his novel The Stranger.
That's right. That's right.
Did they influence each other's ideas and philosophies?
Yes. They influenced each other quite a bit, and that's one of the exciting things I discovered in doing research for my book. When a couple breaks up, if they get into a bitter fight, they usually carry their bitterness back into the early years and say, oh, no, I never loved you, and you never mattered to me, and you were never important. And that's a little bit what happened with Sartre and Camus, so that they both denied any earlier influence, and then their friends and the people who have written about them have denied any influence. But if you look closely at what they wrote, it's quite obvious that they influence each other. Camus was taken with Sartre's novel Nausea. He was taken with Sartre's book of short stories, The Wall. And when he came to write The Myth of Sisyphus, lo and behold, as he's forming his idea of the absurd, who does he quote from but Sartre's Nausea at the key point where he's developing his ideas? And when Sartre develops his notion of the politically committed writer, who does he mention by name? Albert Camus. And this kind of interaction in which they affect each other goes on first very positively, and then when they get into conflict, they start shaping themselves against each other.
Now, you've made several references to their falling out. These great friends ended up having a bitter quarrel. What happened?
Camus decided in the mid-1940s already, by 1946, that the greatest evil was the evil of communism. Although both Sartre and Camus were men of the left, both considered themselves socialists, both were quite radical by today's standards, Camus felt that communism had to be opposed. Sartre was more critical and ambivalent about communism in the 1940s up until about 1952. In 1952, at one of the worst points of the Cold War, Camus' book, The Rebel, had been published. That came out in fall of 1951. And it basically tries to explain, from Camus' point of view, the impulse to transform the world that leads to communism. At that very point, Sartre was deciding to accept the effort to transform the world and accept the Communist Party as representing the workers of France. And at that point, very specifically what happened was Sartre was the editor of the most important journal in France, L'État Moderne, and a young collaborator in the journal, Francis Janson, wrote a review of The Rebel, published it in the spring of 1952. It was a review that sharply criticized Camus' book for trying to escape from history and for making a cult of political inefficiency and for being committed to absurdity rather than making sense of the historical world we live in.
The criticism of Camus was that he wanted to stay in the clouds. He wanted to remain morally pure and not sort of get his hands dirty in history.
That's right. That's right. And the interesting thing here is that Camus had written a great deal about clean hands. How do you get involved in historical change? How do you get involved in political movements and keep your hands clean? He had reflected a great deal on it, and Sartre over the years had reflected a great deal on the necessity for having dirty hands if you want to involve yourself in history and if you believe in changing the world for the better. Janson sided with Sartre and against Camus, and when he published his review, Camus was furious. He wrote a reply, and it was a very angry reply.
And a very long reply.
A very long reply, right. It was 16 pages, a 16-page letter to the editor of Les Temps Modernes, not cher Sartre, not dear friend Sartre, but a letter to the editor. He refused to mention Janson by name. He whined and complained about his book being misunderstood, his book being ignored, and then he criticized Sartre and Janson for siding with the Soviet Union, but being afraid to admit that. Then Sartre wrote a reply to Camus in the same issue of Les Temps Modernes, 20 pages this time, in which he mostly attacked Camus personally and a little bit defended his political position about a realistic change. And then Janson included a 30-page reply on top of, yeah.
And what's remarkable about this whole story is this all played out very publicly. I mean, these were two of the most famous men in France, the two leading intellectuals in France, and they were having this duel out in public. And it's almost hard to conceive of that in today's world because intellectuals just don't matter as much anymore. But this was huge back in post-war France.
Right. It was huge. First of all, it was very personal. The kinds of statements you read in the debate, particularly from Sartre, are personally nasty. That was remarkable. But secondly, the public debate reached the 10,000 readers of Les Temps Modernes. It was sold out. Another 10,000 copies were sold out. And most of it was reprinted in Camus' former newspaper, Combat. 180,000 copies. So you might say everybody who knew anything about what was going on, everyone in the know had read about the debate.
And there was a sense that you had to take sides. You couldn't stay neutral in this debate. You had to pick either Camus or Sartre.
That came from the Cold War. You had to choose sides, either or. One side was right, the other wrong. And you had to choose sides with Sartre or with Camus. Virtually all of their friends felt that pressure, and only a handful resisted it.
Was this a matter of choosing whether you were going to side with the Soviet Union, whether you thought the Soviet Union was still on the right side of history?
That was part of it. Whether you sided with the Soviet Union, whether you sided with the democratic capitalist West was underlying it. Then also a loyalty to your friend. Which friend were you going to be really loyal to? But yes, at the bottom, it was about the Soviet Union, the East-West conflict, and which side you were on.
Now, wasn't there the sense for some years afterwards that Sartre won that debate, that he was in the right?
There was in France a kind of, we now say, default position that Sartre was right. There was a prevailing sense that Sartre had won the debate, that he had really wiped the floor with Camus. They gave points out to Sartre, they gave points to Camus, and they decided that Sartre clearly, decisively won on points.
Well, it's now been about a half a century since their quarrel. Does it still matter today?
Oh, yes. It matters because the issues between them haven't been resolved. And what I mean specifically is the question of political violence.
And really the question of, can terrorism ever be justified in the fight of what you would consider to be an oppressive and more powerful force?
Yes. What's interesting is some of the recent, most recent books of collections of writings by Camus that have been published in France, for example, are his writings on terrorism. Camus is probably the number one writer in the 20th century to reflect on the limits and problems and potential disasters of using violence for revolutionary political purposes. Sartre, on the other hand, is probably the number one writer in the 20th century about systemic or structural violence when he writes about imperialism. And that's one of the newest publications of Sartre's writings, is about his essays on colonialism, where he talks about the system of violence that becomes part of daily life in colonial society. And he also writes about structured violence in capitalist society, unemployment, poverty. And there is no thinker of the 20th century who went deeper or was clearer about this than Sartre. Today, if we're to think about these questions of political violence and terrorism and so-called wars against terrorism, I think we need Camus and we need Sartre. And I think we also need to avoid the either-or that the Cold War pitched them into and pitched all of us into.
Ronald Aronson is the author of Camus and Sartre, the story of a friendship and the quarrel that ended it. He spoke with Steve Paulson.